help them achieve a comfortable retirement.
Sounds like a big responsibility. You must make big commissions then, right?
No, we don't sell commission-based products. We have one single transparent fee that's structured so we do better when our clients do better. Visit FisherInvestments.com to find out why investors like you are switching to us. Fisher Investments, clearly different money management.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
Hey y'all, Case Keenum here, former UH quarterback and current quarterback with the Houston Texans. Thanks to my friends at HRNP, I'm here to announce the inaugural Case Keenum Quarterback Camp, June 3rd at the University of Houston. If your kid is entering the 7th through the 12th grade this fall and wants to be a quarterback, then let's get to work. Being a QB is not just about throwing the football. We'll teach mechanics, pocket movement, leadership, and team management skills.
Visit CaseKeenumQBCamp.com. That's CaseKeenumQBCamp.com. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2. Mont Belvieu, Houston. Listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Before we get into Tank Dell and the greatness that is Tank Dell, go Cougs. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Ryan, you're in the Hive with The Killer Bees. What's up, Ryan?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Ryan?
Anyways, I got to know. Did the Red Weasel get the bench canceled?
It's not a Texans question, Ryan, but it's a question that we'll entertain. They don't let me know, and I was suspended yesterday, so I haven't really been in the loop. So I am. I don't know. I think that it's possible. I know that Paul has talked about it on his show. Paul is usually, you know, in cahoots with the higher ups. That's how he got his show. So
Paul ain't the only one.
I don't know. I really don't. I have no idea. I'm not in the loop here. I'm out of town. I haven't been around the office gossip. I haven't been around the water cooler. I was in the bad category. That's why I was off yesterday riding on the beach. So I don't know. Do you know anything, Blankers? You've been able to get a read of this situation at all?
No, I mean, the assistant to the regional general manager is the biggest higher up that I even partly associate with. So I've tried to stay clear of all of this, and the high road didn't take me to the beach, but it can take me, you know, to beautiful views and mountaintops to where I don't have to deal with this. But it is a little bit peculiar that everybody's still talking about it. But I don't
Joe,
know.
Put on your boss hat for a second. Put on your APD hat. Can you give us any insight here? Or have you been told to be quiet?
Yeah, my sources tell me that they'll be back next week.
Who?
The bench.
Oh, they'll be back?
Yep.
Starting on Monday?
So was it week?
Tuesday.
It was a week-long suspension?
Tuesday. They're back on Tuesday. You almost got me.
It was a week-long suspension?
No comment?
They'll
be back on Tuesday.
Uncle Barney texted me yesterday. He goes, what happened?
God, everybody's been doing it.
My phone's been blowing up today because Raheel got in on it on Twitter.
I saw that.
And people started texting me.
So did others who saw Raheel and then, I guess, evidently were allowed in to comment because they were friends. So that the discussion would continue to an even higher level that I was just amazed by.
Yeah. They're back on Tuesday.
Yeah, he texted me a little bit, kind of frantic. Like, what happened? I was like, it'll be okay, Uncle Barney. It's just a day. It's just a one-day suspension. Everything's going to be fine.
Oh, for them, it's a week.
For them, yeah. He was more
There is something
about
we have to address about your day off yesterday, Jeremy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did you take that video yourself driving?
I was going to ask.
No comment?
Were you being irresponsible?
It's the first thing I said to Joe.
I have a tripod.
So you set?
No, you don't. You do not.
713-780 ESPN.
You either got a really long wingspan that we don't know about, Clint Capella, or you got. I would hope you have an arm on that phone.
I have unproportionately long arms. 713-780-3776. State laws are a little different in Florida. That's why you hear all the weird stories that come out of Florida. Tank Dell, he's a wide receiver for your Houston Texans. Everybody had good things to say about him. Like Robert Woods said good things. Davis Mills says that he's like one of the quickest receivers he's ever seen, like in and out of cuts. That's the one thing with Tank is because like people look at his 40 speed and like, oh, I thought Tank was a little bit faster, point A to point B. I could have told you he's not like Tyreek Hill, point A to point B, but his shiftiness I think is elite. I was asked about his opinion the other day, and I was like, look, this guy is a gamer. He maximizes everything that he's been blessed with. He's going to win one-on-one matchups. He's uber quick. He's special in the return game. I'm bullish on Tank Dell. But what's the biggest concern about Tank Dell?
Oh, I think most people are going to say his weight and his size is the fact that he's susceptible to getting crushed, and if he runs, you know, the wrong direction one time, it could be devastating.
Yep. See, the size is the biggest concern with Tank. He's 5'8", 165, you know, rock-hard muscle. Like, he's small. Like, there's no doubt about it. So I was kind of curious because, like, we did this a little bit with Bryce Young in draft season. Like, okay, well, let's look at Bryce Young and let's look at other slim quarterbacks, small quarterbacks, puny quarterbacks. We would look at Kyler Murray, even though Kyler Murray is, like, twice as wide as Bryce Young. We would look at Drew Brees, even though Brees is 6 foot, things like that. I was kind of curious about, like, the smallest good receivers in recent memory in the NFL. So I actually did a little bit of a deep dive on this. I looked at other really small receivers in the NFL who have had success. Now, to be fair, Tank Dell is smaller than all of these guys. Mm. So, like, that's forever going to be a concern.
How's his hand size?
Until it's no longer a concern. Tanks?
No, yeah. I mean, Tanks, I'm worried. I mean, hand size matters.
Does it matter for receivers?
No, it doesn't.
I think it matters a little.
When we got into all the deep dives on Bryce Young, and of course it always comes back to hand size, but I mean, I guess with receivers it should matter, right? You should be able, you at least have to be able to control the football.
Yeah, I mean, it does matter. It's certainly a big deal for, I think, more for quarterbacks and receivers.
I was kidding, obviously.
No, I know that you were, but I think it does matter. Like, to be able to catch the football, you have more space on your hand. Yeah, I think it matters a little bit more. Here are some of the other small receivers. And y'all think of a couple of small receivers that have had tremendous amount of success in the NFL. Like, the first one that I thought of was Julian Edelman, perhaps because he was, like, recently in the NFL. And all these guys are kind of slot guys for the most part. There's one that's not. Edelman was still 5'10", 195. Like, he had 2 inches on Tank Dell. He had 30 pounds on Tank Dell. Like, that's pretty significant. That's, like, that, like, kind of towers over Tank Dell. So that's pretty big gap between the two. Wes Welker, 5'9", 185. So even Welker was an inch taller than Tank and 20 yards heavier than Tank. Now, I think it matters because it's 2023, and I think 2023 you don't have, like, the same rules. I think it's better for smaller players nowadays in the NFL. How about Antonio Brown? Antonio Brown was 5'10", 185.
Really?
He was only 2 inches taller than Tank and only 20 pounds bigger than Tank. You look at Steve Smith, 195. DeShaun Jackson, 175. T.Y. Hilton, 185. Emmanuel Sanders, who was 5'11", 180. He needs to eat a couple of sandwiches. Like, what does Tank Dell need to get to make you comfortable with Tank Dell's size?
What's Tyreek Hill's measurements?
I didn't look up Tyreek Hill.
Because I think that's where I was going with this when you started to bring it up, is the fact that, look, I don't care what he weighs and how tall he is, as long as... Because what my concern would be is that if you're trying to put weight on him and trying to bulk him up to get more like Edelman and some of the guys that you mentioned, you might take away the most dynamic portion of his game, which is the shifty speed and just the flat-out blaze that makes defenses struggle to contain him. I don't want to get to a point where where the organization is focused on putting weight on him and then it takes away some of that elusiveness. So I think the same reason why I don't think the Chiefs or the Dolphins are ever concerned about what Tyreek Hill weighs or, you know, things like that. It's just the flat out fact that he gets open, and when you put the ball in his hands, he makes things happen. And then you have to basically construct it, you know, an offense around him to where he can also get down or get out of bounds.
Yeah, see, I think it does matter, though. Like, to me, the size is going to come into play. It's just going to. The question is, can he get away with it because of his skill, because of his talent? Tyreek Hill was 5'10", 190. Like, he's 25 pounds heavier than Tank Dell. And, like, we look at Tyreek Hill as a smaller wide receiver. Somebody texting in back in the Oiler days, love you, Blue, 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. They mentioned Ernest Givens. I didn't realize Ernest Givens was only 5'9". I thought he was a little taller than 5'9", 180.
What was White Shoes?
Google.com.
Okay.
I don't know White Shoes' size.
I'm just saying, because I thought Billy White Shoes was about the same size.
Yeah, you would have to look at that up. 713-780-ESPN. So, like, the question that I'm kind of curious of, like, we just looked at a bunch of these really good wide receivers who were small. Welker, 185. Brown, 185. DeShaun Jackson, 175. T.Y. was 185. Steve Smith, Julian Edelman, even Tyreek Hill, 190, 195. Tank Dell right now is 165 pounds. You talk about, like, adding muscle and, like, it could, you know, limit his athleticism. I think I would like him to gain 10 pounds. Like, I think I want him to play at 175. I think if he's there, he doesn't lose the quickness, and I think he's big enough to absorb some contact. If he's DeSean Jackson's weight, I think that's a victory for the
Texans. I think 10 to 20 pounds is not going to be limiting to him, and I think that, you know, some of that could be weightlifting and just, you know, adding on a little bit more muscle, too, to take away some of the impact if he does get hit. I think he's fully capable of putting 20 pounds on, and I don't think you're going to lose anything for what's going to make him effective and how they use him in the offense.
Somebody said Dante Hall, the X Factor, walked off with
Good
Cody
call.
Stutes.
Yeah.
He didn't want to work with Cody Stutes, so he literally left the studio mid-show. Dante Hall is a good call. Nimitz Cougar, by mm-hmm. the way. He was 5'8", 185, though. Like, he still had some weight on Tank Dell. Like, that was still 20 pounds heavier than Tank. Like Tank Dell might be the smallest wide receiver. If he turns good, Tank Dell might be the smallest good wide receiver in the history of the league.
Cole Beasley is listed at 5'8", 174.
Okay.
And I think he's not as elusive as Tank Dell, but...
No, he had good hands.
But he has good
he's
hands.
He's more of a slot, whereas
yeah.
Tank's more of like getting space.
Yeah, he's more like Cole Beasley's like Wes Welker light, you know? It's
Cole Beasley was the cousin of the guy that started ahead of me in high school baseball. It's a little bit of a sore subject. Just kidding. I love the Beasley family.
Mm.
There's really not a good comparison. Like, when you type in like shortest wide receivers in the NFL, like...
Andre Hawkins was 5'7 and caught 500 yards worth of passes
yeah.
in 1 year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think to like throw in the parameter of a good receiver, because like there's been a lot of smaller receivers in the NFL, but for one to be good, like these are like usually the smallest quarterback, the smallest receivers that were good. Like the smallest one, I think, is DeSean Jackson at 175. That has had a solid good career. I think that's achievable though for Tank. Like if Tank's at the combine at 165 in his rookie year, I think he can easily get up to 175, 180 by the time he's like in year three, year four.
Like it's interesting because Joe knows one of the guys that. Until he recently had a knee injury, he's listed as a running back. But the way the Bears used Tariq Cohen was more like a slot type in motion wide receiver, just get him in space type guy. And he's 5'6". Now he's a little stockier, but boy, he didn't lose his shiftiness and his ability to have quicks too.
It's funny because it's like when you think about like his size, like the first thing that pops into my mind is like Darren Sproles.
I that's the first name that I was thinking.
But
of.
They're so like yeah, it's just. It's apples like, and oranges.
Jeremy, what about the...
Sproles was just thick, though. Like, he was like a tree trunk.
Oh, yeah.
What about J.J. Moses?
J.J. Moses was pretty small, but I wouldn't qualify him as good, right?
Well, I mean, he was better as a return guy, but there were times that he was used as a wide receiver, and I, at least I might be wrong, but if memory serves me, that he was in their three receiver packages, and he had times where he could catch the football and be an impact.
He had one like solid receiving year. He caught 53 passes for 775 yards in 2000, and like that was his best season. So like that's a factor. That's pretty
mm-hmm.
good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good year. He was 5'6", 175. So like he was not that. Small, like he was short, but he was like built pretty good.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have guessed.
Randall Cobb's not very big.
Well, that might be a good one.
Tank.
Well, but I think everybody's bigger than Tank.
I think what's hard about this is everyone's going.
Cobb
to be.
Is 190, man. Like Cobb's got some pretty good size to him. Like he's short, but like he's thick.
Like the next two guys, I thought of. I was like immediate reaction was two Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Wallace and Santonio Holmes. But both those guys are like 5'10", 5'11", and 190 to 200 pounds.
So, I think.
I don't think there's really a comparison, honestly, in the NFL for Tank Dell, at least in terms of like good wide receivers.
Santana Moss is 3.243.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was small. I'd have
yes,
to look at
was.
His exact weight. Tavon Austin, who was kind of like – he was a West Virginia guy.
He bounced around. He was Rams. Cowboys had him for a while. I think the Packers even gave him a try. But, yeah, he had
he
like a good year or two,
over.
And then he bounced around.
Tavon Austin was 5'8", 185. Who was the other one that I just said?
Santana Moss.
Santana Moss, I remember being short.
He was stocky, though.
Yeah, I remember him being short and stocky. Like, I don't remember him being that very skinny. Santana Moss was actually he's taller than I thought.
5'10".
5'10". 5'10", 195. The best one, I think, on the text line, though, and I did not realize that he was this tiny. Like, he looked skinny, but I thought he was kind of tall where he didn't weigh this, like, little. Devontae Smith weighs 170 pounds.
I was going to say that.
6 foot 170. Did you realize?
I was looking it up.
6 foot 185.
I knew he was very. I knew he was. I thought he was taller, but I thought that he didn't have a whole lot of weight on him.
Man, that's. I didn't realize he was 170. Like I knew he was slim, but I thought because he was 6 foot, he probably like got up to 185.
And he won the Heisman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marquise Hollywood Brown. Somebody texted us that one. I didn't look up Hollywood Brown. He says that is his comparison. He's 5'9", 180. I mean. That's not that tall, but Tank is a little bitty. Like,
what, they're
no
listing
doubt
Tank
about
at 165?
That's what he weighed in at the combine. So, like, see, that's kind of like the other part of this conversation is a lot of these players that we're talking about, it's their listed weight, not like their actual weight. Like, I bet you they list Tank at 175. Like, I bet you whenever the rookie bios come out next year, he's 170, 175. But his combine measurement was 165.
I think he can put 20 pounds on, and I think he'll still be just fine.
Yeah, I do too. What is that weight for you that you'd like Tank to get at? Riveting Radio, 713-780 ESPN. I just wanted to look at Tank and other small receivers, though. I think it can be done, and I think in this current modern-day age of football, I think it's easier to get by being small as opposed to like back in the day when you needed to be a 6'3 receiver and you had all the physical rules that were still in the game. 713-780-3776. If you could amnesty one contract for the Astros, because there's some bad contracts, right? You got Abreu, you got Montero. Do you want to throw Lance McCullers into that mix? If you could amnesty one contract, like the NBA back in the day, which contract are you getting out of? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Time to hydrate. Grab a Rambler Sparkling Water, the official sparkling water of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. A Texas mineral blend available in original lemon, lime, grapefruit, and now Satsuma. Ramblers do it better.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn.
And this is Bill Olson. Texas Outdoor News is the longest-running, most award-winning outdoor radio show in the state for a lot of good reasons.
We bring you the latest news and information about hunting and fishing across our great state and beyond.
And our guests are who's who from industry, government, and the field.
Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Join us Saturday mornings at 6, Sunday at 7 on ESPN 97.5.
Houston Dynamo FC welcomes in-state rival Austin FC to PNC Stadium for a Western Conference showdown. Coverage begins Saturday night at 7 on your radio home for Houston Dynamo FC, ESPN 97.5.
Proton Coupes, they're remarkable. They're the best. Isn't that what you want for your kids? John Granato here, and I know because my kids had a Proton Coupes goal. They're built to last with tempered glass backboards, thick steel poles, and a breakaway rim for dunking. Yes, dunking, because they're adjustable anywhere from 10 to 5 feet. Plus, they'll install your goal. Trust me, let the pros handle this part. You can't do it. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. The best goal by far. ProDunkHoops.com.
See website for details. Bill Sappin is not a lender and does not make credit decisions. Must be 18 years old. Not available in all states.
Honey, the credit card bill came and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by for a few weeks.
We should do what my brother did. He went to BillsHappen.com and got $3,000 the next day.
With our bad credit, I don't think so.
BillsHappen.com is different. They are one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with all credit types get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope, my brother said it was easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan for up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account the next day. BillsHappen.com's lenders have millions of dollars to lend, regardless of your credit history.
Great news! I went to BillsHappen.com, and we will have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to BillsHappen.com. That's BillsHappen.com. BillsHappen.com.
When it comes to accidental injury cases in Harris County, there's one law firm that files nearly three times as many cases than any other firm, and that's Dasper Law Firm. Why? Because they're the best at what they do, getting their clients the compensation they deserve for injuries they've wrongfully suffered in an accident. Lance Zierlein here, and if you suffered an injury in an accident and you would like a free case review, call John Daspit now, 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW or visit DaspitLaw.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
We have the city of Houston Googling small wide receivers in NFL history.
Great. I looked at, and it might be, it was before Joe's time, and it might be before your time, Jeremy, but I was thinking about
probably
the Dolphins receivers that Marino had over the years with Clayton and Duper. Clayton and Duper were both 5'8 and 5'9, and both were between 180 and 185.
Yeah, that's nuts. Joe was telling me one that he looked up was Wayne Corbett.
Yep.
And he was 5'10", 188. Someone in the Twitch, in Fuentes, Trinidad Holiday, yep, sucked, but he was 5'7", a buck 165. See, I didn't look up receivers that sucked. Like, I think that there might be a baseline of a certain size that you have to be in order to, like, kind of make it as an NFL wide receiver. I think that you need to be a buck 70, buck 75. I really do. 175 actually might be the answer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm surprised Devontae Smith is 170. Like, that is stunning to me.
Don Beebe.
Here we go.
Man, Don Beebe was 5'11".
I got a current NFL player.
Yeah, he was 5'11", 185. Like, yeah. I would not have guessed that about Don Beebe.
No, uh-uh.
Rondale Moore, 5'7", 180.
That's big. It's 180.
180 is big. 5'7 is not.
No, but 180 means you're stacked.
I know.
That means you got some, like, you got some muscle. Like, you're thick. If you're 5'7", 180, you're thick. Like, you can pack. Like, you can take a hit at 5'7", 180. Like, you're 165. You're going to have to – and look – I think Tank Dell's elusive enough to where he's going to be able to avoid most big hits. I think Tank Dell, I've seen him. Like, he's tough as can be. Like, he is.
What's your
really
boy's name
tough,
in the slot for the Raiders that you like?
Hunter Renfro?
Yeah, I'm going to look.
Hunter Renfro's probably 180.
Let me see.
They're thinking about cutting him too.
Hunter Renfro, 5'10", 185.
Yeah, like, he's pretty thick.
They're thinking about cutting him.
Yeah, I know, it's weird. Like, they're thinking about, I read rumors that he might be a June 1st cut. Which is like,
he won't,
I actually,
there will be no shortage in teams wanting to pick that dude up.
I kind of hope he gets cut because I kind of love him as a PPR guy, and I don't love him in a Raiders offense where Jimmy Garoppolo's there. Like, I would love for him to be cut and go to a pass-heavy offense because I think he would catch 100 passes again.
Oh,
Renfro caught 100 passes 2 years ago. Renfro.
I feel like he's going just right to Cleveland.
I think the Chiefs are a great fit.
That would be a good spot. I think the Chiefs would be – Chiefs have so many receivers, though.
They do.
Like, the Chiefs – but they're all kind of, like, the same guy. And, like, they need a couple of guys to emerge. Like, the Chiefs wide receiver room right now is weird. Like, they have a failure in New York in Tony. Like, he's on his second team. They have Sky Moore, who they drafted last year, that rarely played. They drafted the Rice kid out of SMU. They have the Clemson dude that's there. They signed, I think, Richie James from the Giants. Like, the Chiefs wide receiver room right now is, like – it's almost a collection of misfit toys.
You know where Hunter Renfro would be great? With the Chargers.
How about Buffalo? Chargers would be really good.
Chargers because be really they good. Got a lot of burners and guys that can go up and high point of football, but that slot guy is something that Herbert could really use.
Now, they already have three really good receivers, though. Like, you have
Williams
Allen,
and
Quentin
Allen's
Johnson,
a little older.
Drafted. But you're right. Like, I think they kind of need a slot guy, right?
Yep.
Like, Hunter Renfro would be great there, especially for Kellen Moore. How about Buffalo? Like, Cole Beasley was catching nearly 100 passes.
Yeah.
I think Hunter Renfro is a – no offense to the Beasley family. I love the Beasley family, even though it prevented me from playing baseball in high school. No bitterness there. I think Hunter Renfro is a better version of Cole Beasley. I think he would catch 90 passes for Buffalo if he played every single down in the slot.
But think about where Cole Beasley had his best years, and think about what we just talked about. Dak would love him in Dallas.
His best years were in Buffalo, honestly. I think he had better years in Buffalo than
Beasley?
Dallas. Yeah, absolutely.
Beasley got paid and got that deal in Buffalo because he was really coming on and playing well in Dallas.
I don't think he was bad in Dallas, and you're right. He did get paid based on what he did in Dallas. But look at his career highs in catches. He had 82 catches in back-to-back years in Buffalo.
Yeah.
He never touched 80 in Dallas.
I think he could be good in Dallas. I think he could be good in Minnesota.
The McCarthy offense kind of confuses me. Like, I don't know if, like, he'd be good in Dallas because I don't know how much they're willing to pass. I think Minnesota's a great call. But they have, like, three receivers they love too, right? I mean,
they do, but they really don't have that slot guy that can take – like, if everybody's focusing on Justin –
is Addison the slot guy, though?
Renfro would be the perfect ad for Justin Jefferson, I think.
Yeah, but they drafted Addison.
True. That's true.
Like, I don't know how they plan on using Addison. Like, if you're going to use Addison a little bit outside, I agree with you. If you're planning on using Addison 100% in the slot, then I think it's Renfro becomes a little redundant.
Yeah, I'm just thinking Addison's wide receiver, too. You put Renfro in the slot, and then the secondaries, you know, you can only double and cover so much, and I think Renfro would be open underneath.
I think that's sexy, honestly. I think that sounds really good to me from a fantasy perspective. I saw some people kicking around the idea of wanting him with the Texans, and I'm like, they don't need a slot.
they got a surplus, actually.
They have like seven slot receivers. They don't need a slot. 713-780-ESPN, tiny wide receivers taking our show by storm. 713-780-3776. Blankers, if you could amnesty. NBA used to have this amnesty clause. I think it was, what, after like a labor agreement? They gave a one-time amnesty.
Yep.
Where you could get out of a contract. It didn't
Steve
cost you. They still had to pay the player, though, right?
Yep, they sure did.
Like, it just didn't cost you against the cap.
That's right.
If you could amnesty any contract, probably that Jeff Bagwell did, from the Houston Astros, who would you amnesty? I think the options here, two at top, are obvious. Jose Abreu, Rafael Montero. I think Lance McCullers might be a dark horse here. You can amnesty any one contract. What do you amnesty?
I think people would put Brantley in the conversation, not realizing on a 1 year with an option deal.
Outside the box one.
Yeah, but I think that if you don't think about the length of the contract and just think about for this season, I think people might consider that, because that would be the do-over that gets you a better corner outfielder, potentially. But I think you're right. I think it comes down to, it's either, you know, who do you hate more of the Bagwell signings, Abreu or Montero? And I think because Abreu's an everyday player, and because there's 3 years on that deal at more money, I think the easy answer is Abreu, just because of the fact that it seems like it's going to be more of a hindrance than it's ever going to have any kind of return on investment, because I have to mention that at least once per show.
you're contractually obligated to mention it.
We'll get into plus minuses in a little bit.
I think that there's two answers here that you can take seriously. Like, I threw in the Lance McCullers one. I don't really think Lance McCullers is one that you're amnestying. Like, he's making roughly $17.5 million a year through 2026, which seems like a lot for a guy who's only a part-time player. But, like, I would pay Lance McCullers $17.5 million to play in half of my games. So I'm like, I don't really consider the McCullers as part of this equation. I think that some would.
I think you're right.
I think that the two that stick out to me are the Rafael Montero, because he continues to pitch into some bad luck. If Rafael Montero could field his own position, his ERA would be half of what it is, by the way. Field your position, Rafael Montero. It would have been a 1-2-3 inning last night. But he makes $11.5 million the first year of a 3-year deal. Jose Abreu makes $19.5 million the first year of a 3-year deal. I think those are the top two candidates. And I think if you polled the city, I think it would be pretty obvious that Jose Abreu would be the answer. Because, look, Rafael Montero is a reliever. You can use him in games when you're down runs. You can use him, like, you know, yesterday, where you only used him whenever you were behind in the game. You can lower his leverage. We've already seen Abreu and Neris jump over him. Maton seems like he's on the brink of jumping over Montero as well. So you can demote Rafael Montero and use him to eat up innings in games that aren't that important. Whereas Jose Abreu's batting in the middle of your lineup, getting 4 to 5 plate appearances a day, I think that's the one that's a pretty clear answer, is the one you would
amnesty. I was thinking about what you just said last night after the blow up. The game was pretty much out of reach anyway at 2-0. But after he got done and was walking off the mound, I'm like, well, can you do with him what you couldn't do with Abreu, or Dusty was refusing to do? Because you already kind of did it. You already kind of took the other Abreu and let him, for at least a period of time, leapfrog Montero. And then Dusty was like, I got to get him back out there. I got to get him right. So I'm going to keep throwing him out there. And now I think we've reached a point where you have the same kind of conversations we were having about Abreu that you just covered, which is take him out of the eight spot, take him out of the more high leverage spots, try and get him right and see if it's salvageable by just getting him to give him a mental break for a while and get to back to just throwing freely and trusting every pitch. And maybe there's a time when you work him back up in the more high leverage situations. But your pen is what it's been and what it continues to be for a reason. They're good. They're effective. And sometimes it's by committee, and we've seen guys get hot, and then we've seen guys cool off and see Stanek last year, regular season versus playoffs and others. I think it's the time now to demote him. Without sending him down, this is how you demote him. Just instead of you're not going to give him a day off, because you know how bullpens work. You're just going to put him in less high leverage situations with more of a chance to get right before you have to do something that you really don't want to do.
I don't mind that, honestly. And I've been more of a Montero defender than most, because I do think that the stuff's still there for Montero. If he fields a ground ball and that little chopper right back to the mound yesterday, it's a 1-2-3 inning. And we're having a much different conversation about Rafael Montero today than we did yesterday. But I'm cool with that. Like, he's already, you know, your fourth highest leverage reliever. If you go backwards, reverse engineer it, you're looking at Presley, Abreu, Neris has already jumped Montero, and Dusty's really only used Montero in games that they've been down, like the last couple. So, like, do you want to jump Maton over Montero? Fine. Do you want to jump Stanek over Montero? Fine. Like, if you're only using him whenever you're down by 3 runs or more, you know, still, like, he's still going to eat innings that way. Okay, that's fine. But Jose Abreu is getting critical at bats behind, like, the studs in your lineup. So that's the one that I would amnesty for the Houston Astros. Sounds like you're there with me.
Yeah, I am. Is he tradable?
No, absolutely.
We did the exercise on Abreu. I'm curious if because of the contract, is Montero tradable?
Oh, I think it'd be easier to trade Montero because it's not as much AAV, and it's still like an arm for a bullpen versus like first baseman that's going to give you nothing. I think Montero's tradable. I mean, he got traded whenever he had a much worse ERA in Seattle, right? As a throw-in of a trade to kind of match salaries, things like that. I don't think the Astros would be in position to trade him, though, because, like, one, you're selling low, incredibly low. The only team that would trade him is probably matching salaries in some way, so a bad salary for a bad salary. And then secondly, like, what are you getting in return? Like, you know that the upside of Montero can be pretty good, and you're going to get nothing in return that's close to that upside. So Probably tradable, but not wanting to trade him.
I think if you're trading him, you're trading him just to get him off the books. But if you got to take a similar contract back,
yeah, you'd have to. You'd have to.
Then that's painful because you could see a scenario where you could put both Maton and or Stanek into the role that he currently has had, and I think you're so deep that you're fine. But I think that it would be just like a cash dump, and you couldn't take anything back. And you couldn't expect to get anywhere near the same caliber arm back.
Yeah, where the Astros are, they have to try to build Montero back up. I don't think you can just jump ship from Rafael Montero's boat. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can let us know what contract you'd want to amnesty. Also, there is an article on NBC Sports Edge that says Nick Caserio is the worst general manager in all of the NFL. Are they right? Is Nick Caserio the worst general manager in all of the NFL? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
The official tequila of the PGA Tour, Maestro Nobel, welcomes global golf superstar Jon Rahm to the family as their new golf ambassador. Take it from me, Lance Erlein, and golf sensation Jon Rahm, Maestro Nobel tequila is outstanding. Resulting from 11 generations of tequila mastery, Maestro Nobel offers several varieties, each with different flavor profiles. Discover Silver, Reposado, Humido, Añejo, and Diamante. Perfect to sip and outstanding in a cocktail, you'll truly enjoy Maestro Nobel tequila.
Proximo Spirits, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Live life to the fullest? You hear that all the time, but it's easier said than done when you're in pain, right? Well, Lance Zierlein here, and QC Kinetics is in the business of giving people their quality of life and providing much-needed relief for chronic joint pain. And not just providing that relief, but doing it in the most non-invasive way possible, using regenerative treatments from your body's own natural biologics. Where is your joint pain in your knees, hips, shoulders, back? Well, QC Kinetics concentrates these impactful treatments right at the source of your pain, directly applying healing properties where you need them most. And best of all, you can walk into the office and walk right out after the treatment. No surgery, no downtime, and patients are raving about the results. So what does living life to the fullest look like for you? Well, find out today. Play golf, hike, walk your dog, enjoy your time with your family, whatever it is. Don't wait one more day. Call QC Kinetics today. There's three locations here in the Houston area, Sugar Land, the Woodlands, and the Heights. That's QCKinetics.com, 713-913-5285.
Wendy's $3 breakfast deal is a bacon or sausage egg croissant plus small seasoned potatoes for $3. It's the breakfast that don't miss. So if you did miss Wendy's breakfast, don't imagine. Fresh cracked eggs, sizzling sausage, crispy bacon, and block out those hot, buttery, flaky croissants. Croissants don't really make a sound, but if they did, for a breakfast that don't miss, Wendy's is that breakfast. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's $3 breakfast deal.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's. Select a request $3 breakfast deal to obtain discount. Not valid for all the card or combo orders.
Gain presents a tale of longing and long-lasting scent. Dear love of my life, we were on the 12B bus when I caught a whiff. A scent so fresh, so life-changing, I had to find its source. I didn't know if you were the woman in the pink freshly washed cardigan or the retired mailman next to me, but I knew one of you was my soulmate. Ah, the scent of Gain Flings. Add Gain scent beads for an even longer lasting scent.
Lance Erlein here. Some say I am the preeminent draft expert, and they would be right, but I don't know if I'm the preeminent plumbing expert. That's why I trust Aqueduct Plumbing Company. It's important to have a good plumber, someone that you know will do right by them. And it could be a busted water heater, broken pipe, clogged drain, or a running toilet. Any of these can be a preeminent pain. So make sure that you have a plumber who is someone you can trust. That's why I'm telling you about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. I've used them. I trust them. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
You guys do anything at the office whenever I'm not there?
Celebrate?
Look at me.
That was the easy answer. You mean just, you set it up. You might as
I drop dimes.
Might as well hit it out of the park.
I serve them up. I drop dimes. However you want to look at it. Joe, you do anything different whenever I'm away?
Host.
I host.
I mean, that's another one.
I mean when I'm doing a show on remote.
Oh no, not really. No, we just watch the Astros lose. Yeah. That's all. When you're not here.
At least they're playing fast. It's a getaway day. It's what happens on getaway
day.
They're
looking baseball. To get away. Bags are packed, and so are the bats.
Woo. First pitch, 305. 39656. He says, I'm 5'11", 270. Am I thick? Thick. Like, you're thick with no K at the end. Like, you're just thick.
Double absolutely. K.
I'm thick, too, though. Like, I'm super thick. 7910. I've been told I have some cake, too. 7910, the Montero contract is what I would amnesty. I have way more optimism towards Brantley returning and Abreu at least being single, double, consistent hitter. I don't know what single, double, consistent hitter means. Maybe Draymond Green. I have no idea what that means. What is a single,
singles
double?
Singles and doubles?
Oh, he means singles and doubles like Yuli.
Yeah.
I got it. I don't. I have. Which of the two do you have more faith in getting back to anywhere close to where they were last year? Rafael Montero or Jose Abreu?
I honestly am going to surprise you a little bit here, but I'm going to say Abreu. I want to say Montero, but you and I have had the conversation numerous times where I have to remind people – last year was a career year for him, and he went from starter to reliever to being DFA'd to, or potentially DFA'd and then thrown in a trade to where everybody knows he's always had the arm. It's just getting production out of it, and last year he did, and he got paid for it, and you can't be mad about that. But you got a guy that has won an MVP that used to be a pretty good hitter that I know when he played the Astros in the playoffs and whenever they've had big games against the White Sox, found a way to get hits. I got to believe that he hasn't completely forgotten how to hit a baseball, but the age is the thing that I can't predict, so it worries me in even saying that.
Yeah, both are MVP, too. I think it's Rafael Montero. I mean, you look at the advanced numbers, and I'm not going to bore you with details, but Rafael Montero's baseball savant page looks 100 times better than Jose Abreu's baseball savant page.
Yeah, I can understand that.
I know, but like when you look at his career, I mean, Montero is a guy who with Seattle
look at his, baseball
his last
card.
Year.
You're like
I know.
Well. Like look he had a baseball card.
He had a 7.27 ERA in 2021. It was a 4.08 in 2020, a 5.52 in 2017. This was only 19 innings, but he had an 8 ERA in 19 innings in 2016. Like he's been objectively terrible.
I don't care about like past years.
Though. No, I know,
I
but like
really don't.
But you want to talk about like reverting back to what? Couldn't this just be reverting back to who he really was in last year's the outlier?
Montero?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I've been harping on.
I don't dismiss that at all, but I'm also not going to like give Abreu a pass because his baseball card looks good.
Oh, no.
Jose Abreu dreadful this year. Jose Abreu can't catch up to 91 mile per hour heat when he's guessing fastball.
Yeah, like, but we talked about this yesterday. Awful. That as much as Bagwell has made mistakes, at least when Bagwell, you have enough hitters that go to him that he knows hitting. And some of the things that he pointed out about where his weight is and getting over the top of it and doing some of those things, at least there's reason to believe that he can find a way where he was one of the most feared hitters in baseball, but I do think that he was one of the most respected hitters in the American League where guys knew when you faced him, got a good command of the zone, can hit it to all fields, can hit for average. I'm not going to even talk about the pop either. I think he can get back to those things. I think as a hitter, you don't forget how to.
What has shown you that, though? Like, I agree with his pass being great. Like, completely agree. Like, Barry Bonds' past was great, too. Sign him. Like, I just don't put a whole lot of stock in what happened 5 years ago, what happened 3 years ago. I just don't. Like, I need to know what's happening right now in 2023. Like, what signs have you seen in Jose Abreu that make you feel like he's going to get anywhere close to where he's been?
I mean, did he have two multi-hit games?
Yeah, he had some seeing eye singles, some baseballs
okay,
that had
but,
eyes.
But
yeah,
look, the box score doesn't lie. I understand that you want him to turn on it. I understand that. Look, I think last night of the balls, even on outs, he was hitting them at 95-plus miles an hour on the – the exit velo off the barrel. That's something that we haven't seen maybe all year, but definitely not recently, to where at least there are signs, because I agree with you. He hasn't caught up with a fastball. He looks like he's pressing, and he doesn't look like he's shifting his weight correctly, and there's nothing behind when he hits it. But if he's making outs at 95 plus on three hits last night, or three of the contacts he made last night, I'm like, well, that's something that I haven't seen. At this point, I'm grasping at straws looking for positives, but at least those are some of the things.
We're doing it with both players. We're both grasping for straws with both players, yeah. If we're being completely honest.
But you know what, guys? Here's the other thing on that before we get off of this, though. Because as when you asked the initial question and we were thinking about it, thank God we don't have, and this goes back to, as much as it's been a struggle for fans, especially to digest, no long-term contracts at big money, because they have a better chance to backfire and the ROI is more of a minus than a plus when you look at the return. This is where you look at it and say, thank God the Astros have had that philosophy, because normally on most rosters, good and bad, Dodgers, Yankees, other teams, you can look around the diamond and go, God, if I had to do all over again, I wouldn't have given that many years and that amount of money to this guy or that guy or at least one other guy. Even the Yankees looking at how much Stanton is hurt and going, man, yeah, when he's in the lineup, he is unbelievable. But when is he ever consistently in the lineup? Because he's always out, he's always hurt, and we're paying him a boatload of money. Thank goodness the Astros don't have those kind of doomsday contracts hanging around the diamond when you look at position players and pitchers.
Would you not consider Abreu and Montero that, though? Because, I mean, that's
they're the closest thing you got to it, but those are three-year deals.
2 years.
Yeah, we're not talking about
– for the next 2 years. Yeah. I mean, that's like a $30 million a year player. Like, I think that's significant.
It can be, yeah. But, you know, again, like we're talking about, I don't know that Montero is completely done. I think there's something to be salvaged there just because of the hit the arm, whether it's in a different role like we talked about. But I don't think he's done. I mean, the biggest question mark is Abreu, but at the same time, it could be a lot worse. Those could be 8-year deals or 5-plus year deals or a 10-year deal, God forbid, at even bigger money when you're going, man, talk about debilitating. At least they're not that.
Yeah. I mean, $30 million is significant, though. Like, if you put them together, Montero, yeah. Like, if those two guys prevent you from signing a $30 million a year player for the next 2 years, like, that's pretty debilitating. That's pretty significant. Like, they're not going to – you look at $30 million players, you're looking at Jose Altuve, you're looking at Alex Bregman, mm-hmm. and you're not going to have the availability to do that, or the possibility to do that, unless Crane really wants to start spending. So, I do think that those two contracts are going to be debilitating whenever it comes to adding players to this team in the next two off seasons.
I just think scary. That, you know, mine is more like the big picture debilitating when – we're talking about pitchers that, you know, just crap the bed or need Tommy John right after you sign them, or can't, you know, that have like 5-, 6-, 7-year deals or more, or position players on, in the same breath that you basically look at what you're talking. One of the quick ones was Anthony Rendon to me was a guy that they paid $284 million for coming off of the World Series, and he's basically given you zero return on investment.
Yeah,
to where you're
he's
like
been good this year, but he's been very hurt. Yeah. Over the course of that contract, I would consider trading for Anthony Rendon if it meant I could get rid of Jose Abreu. Like, you're adding more money, you're adding years to that contract, but like, at least Anthony Rendon's been a good baseball player this year, whereas Jose Abreu's been one of the worst offensive first basemen in all of the league.
I haven't looked at what Rendon is hitting.
He's hitting above 300. He's not hitting for much power. He's only got one homer, but he's hitting 300. He's got a .415 on base. Like, the guy's been a good baseball player this year.
Yeah, he's been better than
Bregman.
Before he got the monster deal, he was a hell of a player in Washington. And then again, we talk about free agency, you end up paying for past performance, and it can bite you. And I don't think that's just the one example of, at least you don't have a guy.
No, it's still an awful contract.
Yeah, though. Just like, years and money like that.
Yeah, it's still like, he still has like, I think, 5 years at like 35 yep. million. Like, it's still not a good contract. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We'll get into the Caserio worst general manager in football in the 2 o'clock hour. Patrick Beverley had some thoughts about maybe returning to Houston. Are we open to the idea, PBEV, returning to Houston? Are we open to the idea of a PBEV Harden reunion back in Houston. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Take your golf to a new level of fun with Spark Golf. Spark Golf is a weekly nine-hole social golf league with over a dozen courses hosting it around Greater Houston. It's casual fun for players of all skill levels. Join for free at spark.golf.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone. I went through it a while back. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The patented key ingredient is something called Testofen, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text BOTH to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BOTH to 42424. That's BOTH to 42424.
Products and statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or illness.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions. Attention anyone that owes money to the IRS. The IRS has restarted aggressive enforcement actions against taxpayers who owe back taxes that were temporarily suspended for COVID. If you owe $10,000 or more, you must hear this because now is the time to clear your IRS tax debt. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, and other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now at 800-663-1402. Tax Relief Helpers will provide you with the maximum protection afforded by law.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I didn't know what to do. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Call 800-663-1402 right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now. Call 800-663-1402. 800-663-1402. 800-663-1402.
John Granata here with Yanni Damaris from Damaris Barbecue. Your quesadillas and your catering are the best I think I've ever had.
Our quesadilla station, I will put it up against anybody else's. The beef quesadillas, chicken quesadillas, vegetable quesadillas.
You can get barbecue when you cater, but you can get anything you want, really.
We do backyard barbecues all the way up to a seated dinner with filet and shrimp bruschette. We can do just about anything.
Damaris Barbecue, two locations. One's on 610 at 18th Street. The other's at Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. Or you can order ahead at Damaris.com.
Take a deeper dive into Houston sports stories at SportsMap Houston and ESPN Houston on YouTube. Big opinions from all our hosts about the Astros, Texans, Rockets, and more. SportsMap Houston and ESPN Houston on YouTube. Subscribe today.
Razor sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Patrick Beverley has a podcast. Who doesn't have a podcast these days? The Houston Rockets came up. Patrick Beverley, he's a free agent, right? Beverley's a free agent,
yes,
isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, yep. He's free to go wherever he wants. Patrick Beverley on the chances. Are the chances up there, PBAV, that you could be with the Houston Rockets next year?
Very highly.
Very high chance of you going back to Houston?
Very highly.
Of you going back?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think that was one of my, decisions when I got traded from the Lakers. The Houston was one of my, but they told me, Pat, we don't need you right now. You might not play. We need you to mentor young guys, blah, blah, blah. So I still wanted to play, so.
It should blah, be blah, noted that he had a beer in his hand, and I'm sure it wasn't his first during that.
General Ben in his hand.
But I don't want Pat Beverley back on this team.
I'd rather have Pat Bev than Harden.
Okay, that's easy for me to say, sure. But here's the thing, Jeremy.
I like PBev.
The antics have gotten to be greater than the game.
I think they're gimmicky for sure.
And I think that you saw it with the Lakers when in overtime he went and grabbed the photographer's camera and wanted to show it to a ref and didn't realize. I mean, got teed up at the most inappropriate times. The temper tantrums on the floor at the most inopportune times. He kind of let the shtick get the best of him to where he didn't think about what it might impact the game with when he did it. And I think that the same way, but on a different accord, when we're talking about a young, impressionable team, I don't need Pat Bev running off the rails when he's supposed to be setting an example for these guys. Now, defensively, I think he can teach more than he can show at this point in his career. But defensively, with a guy like Ime Udoka, I think the two of them coordinate with one another to how to kind of teach defense. But it's at what price, too? Because I don't think you're going to get a whole lot of return on investment anymore from Pat Beverly.
No, I'm intrigued by it. I wouldn't think that Patrick Beverly is going to be a starter. Like, I don't think he's capable of being a starter anymore in the NBA. I think you can do far worse as a backup point guard. But if this is like the veteran point guard that you're trying to bring in and you have aspirations of like taking a step forward next year, I don't think he's the right answer there. Like, to me, it depends on, okay, like, what is your role? Like, if Patrick Beverly's role is to be the backup point guard, he's going to be the veteran, he's going to be the tough defender, he's going to be the annoying guy off the bench, you're not expecting for too much offense for a mid-30-year-old point guard, his shot's still okay, like, I can live with that. Like, cheap salary, probably a one-year deal, maybe 2 years, but I would prefer it to be one. He's not making much money, and his role is the backup point guard. That's where I can live with Patrick Beverly on my team. I'm with you. Like, I think that the gimmick has become, like, he lives it a little bit too hard. Like a method actor, he's living his gimmick. I think it has gone over the top, to be quite honest with you. But I think he's a good veteran. I think he'd be a good guy to have in the locker room. He still gives you that defense, especially if it's off the bench. I can totally be cool with a reunion with Patrick Beverly, depending on those things. That's what it would require for me to be cool with it.
See, to me, if it's the decision between a guy like him and a guy like Grant Williams, and Grant Williams knows Udoka and he's still got enough in the tank, I think Grant Williams is a better three-point shooter at this stage in his career than Pat Beverly is and maybe was, though there was a time when you gave Pat an open three and he could knock it down. I think that you could get more without the ticking time bomb of what else may come with it.
Aren't those two different guys, though? Like, I mean, Williams is a power forward, where Bev is like a backup point guard.
Yeah, I'm talking about from a toughness standpoint and a defensive standpoint.
Yeah, because I'd rather have Williams, too.
Yeah, and I think price tag-wise, it's probably going to be similar, because I think Pat Bev's going to set a bar that's going to be way too high for the rest of the league to want to pay, but maybe a contending team for some of the things that you mentioned as a complimentary piece. That's what a team is missing. And
I kind of like both of them, Joel. Like, I kind of like Grant Williams as your backup big man and P. Bev as your backup point guard.
Yeah, so
like,
I said yesterday,
I don't want Deshaun Nix. Like,
No.
I'm not ready for Ty.
You're right where I'm at. I think he's an upgrade in every way, shape, and form than Deshaun Nix. And Deshaun Nix, again, I'll repeat, should never see another day in the Rockets uniform to have any kind of meaningful any experience here anymore. He needs to go somewhere else, like the G League. I think that if Pat Beverly's an upgrade there over Deshaun Nix, I think Grant Williams gives you the toughness with the actual effectiveness that Dylan Brooks would like to have. Grant Williams is just tough, but he's also a good defender, and he's also a good shooter, and he's also been in big moments and made shots. So everybody looks at what happened with Butler the other night, but loses sight of the fact that this dude, whenever his number is called, he shows up. And I think that you could do a lot worse than him on your roster. I don't think you have to overpay for him.
No, I like both. I like both options. Like, if Beverly's asking for high money, though, I'm done. Like, I'm not paying Patrick Beverly big dollars. Like, I'm paying him his worth, and I'm paying a backup point guard. So, like, if Patrick Beverly is demanding more than that, then I'm out of the Patrick Beverly business. If I lose out on Patrick Beverly in free agency, it's not a deal breaker for me. But if I can get him in those two caveats, low salary, he's willing to accept that backup point guard role, totally cool. If he's starting to price himself out of what you think of him, see ya.
Yeah,
I'm with you I would have Grant over PBAB too, by the way.
What I do
I'm
like
with you on that.
What I do like, though, in terms of how it relates to getting these kids to mature in the locker room and around like practices and things, is Pat's going to get in your face. Pat's not afraid to tell anything to anybody, to where he's going to teach these kids a little bit about toughness and also about professionalism in terms of how you handle your business in the NBA as opposed to when you were getting fed with a silver spoon. Pat could be that guy, but like I said, the biggest fear I have is that every day you run the risk of, is today going to be the day where he goes off? And if he goes off in the wrong direction, it can derail whatever kind of positives you got going for this franchise.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 4431. Hell yes to PBAV, talking about a veteran that young players can learn from. Again, cool with the idea. If he's willing to accept the role, if he's willing to accept, you know, the true value for what he's worth, doesn't look for big money. 4683, with the talks of the Rockets looking at point guards and free agency, what is the trade value of KPJ and the fourth pick package?
Well, I think it all comes down to what they're going to do with Harden. I think that if you're going to go with Harden, I think that four pick is probably almost certainly, in my opinion, going to be moved, because they're going to use that as a trade chip. And whether you think that you can find enough value with a KPJ or not, but I think that that four pick is going to be the centerpiece of trying to get another veteran above average player to pair with James. If they're truly going to just try and make the playoffs and be relevant again, I think you're going to need to do that. And that's what James is already saying that he's wanting wherever he goes. So I think that if you avoid James, there's a way that you add that point guard. And I keep saying Fred VanVleet, to me, it just seems to be too perfect of a fit. But I think you'd have to give him money. But I think on the flip side, he's going to give you return on investment, because he's going to make shots. He's going to give the ball to the guys when they're open. And he's already won a championship, so he's not chasing trophies and titles as much as he can be an effective team member that I think Udoka could use in a variety of different ways. Plus, he makes big shots at big times. But I don't think that they're going to keep the four if they sign Harden. If they're going away from Harden, I think you keep the four and add another young piece to your core, or trade up or trade down.
Yeah. See, Chris from Sam Houston in the Twitch says no one wants KPJ. I tend to be with him. Like, I don't think anybody wants KPJ. In fact, I think Ime Udoka might be the one guy that wants KPJ more than anybody around the league. Like, listening to him, I guess it wasn't listening, I was reading about it, whenever he had the one-on-one with Kelly Eco, the one-on-one with Jonathan Fagan, yeah, just kind of a Q&A, like, He talked up KPJ's game and kind of talked up about how they want to use him. But the way they talked him up, he talked about how he's a really good catch and shoot 3-point guy. Like, ball out of his hands, he's sitting up basically in the corner, kind of how I envisioned what he's thinking of his role. I think Udoka wants KPJ on this team. I don't think Udoka wants KPJ to be his point guard, though.
Here's the other thing, though, Jeremy. As you and I know a little bit more than most, I think basketball skill-wise, I think there's a lot of players and teams that would love a KPJ. Yeah. But I think that the off-the-floor, the maturity stuff, the other stuff is what's preventing. And now with the contract that goes with it,
it's hurt his value.
Yeah, it's taken a lot of luster away from the intrigue of going and getting a guy that's still young enough and good enough that might be a piece that you could add that could really help you take it to the next level. I think Udoka likes him right now because he hasn't personally had to deal with some of the stuff that I'm sure he's probably heard a little bit about, but I think that now that he's going to deal with it firsthand, you're going to find out there's a whole lot of other stuff that comes with whatever basketball ability he has. But if he feels like kind of like D'Amico with young players, if you can develop them, you can work with them. This is why when KPJ was at the press conference, I was like, that's the one guy that has to be there, because I think he's the first guy to go unless he truly makes a connection with Udoka. I think Udoka's intrigued by the basketball. I think he likes the thought that he could maybe be mentor and turn this kid around. I just think it's going to be a rude awakening the first time he has to deal with it personally and realizes, yeah, there's a lot more to it.
Because of his value, though, I think that they give it a shot. I think they give it a year. I think those are your starting wings. I think Jalen Green and KPJ are your starting 2-3. And I think that
But you and I have said this forever.
Even if Harden comes back, Harden's your one.
See, and I've been harping on this forever and a day, too. But even before he started leading the league in turnovers, KPJ, as a basketball player, is talented. KPJ as a point guard is not it. He's not it for this team, and for any good team, he's not
even
it.
Even for himself. Like,
right.
For the benefit of his career, he's an off-the-ball guard, frankly. Well,
and what Udoka
he's capable
described,
of doing it.
Yeah, and what Udoka described is not a point guard. That's a guy that's a catch-and-shoot shooter that can create off the dribble and get his own when he needs to, too. That's not the point guard.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Like, I think we kind of read Ime's mind there a little bit. Like, he's intrigued by the idea of KPJ, but he wants KPJ off the ball. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. It's Joe George's favorite segment of each week. He loves doing this. Our Weird Take Wednesday. What's Joe George going to talk about today? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. One thing that's not a weird take is Gentle Ben. In fact, it's a popular take. It's a smart take. It's a shrewd decision. It's a great pleasure of mine to tell you about Gentle Ben for a variety of different reasons. But at the top of that list is because I believe what I say, even if sometimes it gets me in trouble. Gentle Ben is the best, whether it's the vodka, best in the state, the gin, best in the market, or the bourbon, the double platinum winner at the prestigious Ascot Awards. Gentle Ben uses their innovative Percedo craft technology that makes them better across the board. Purity, aroma, taste. They sweep every category. You'll love what's not in Gentle Ben. Their purification process is unrivaled. Smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. It takes out the bite. Don't labor through your drink. Enjoy it. Take it in. Savor it. And you can do that with Gentle Ben. Head over to GentleBen.com. Register to win the Astros tickets, by the way. Running a sweepstakes right now where they're giving you Astros tickets. All you have to do is enter for a chance to win. Stop by your favorite liquor store on the way home today. Total Wine, Specs, many of the other local stores as well. Get yourself a bottle of Gentle Ben. When you're having dinner tonight at a restaurant, ask for Gentle Ben. If they don't have it, demand it. Are you headed to an Astros game anytime soon? You can get Gentle Ben there as well. The Gentle Ben Bar, right when you walk in the Union Station entrance. Sit back with good company and raise a glass to the very best, Gentle Ben.
ESPN 97.5.
It's hard to miss the new eye-catching digital billboard on wheels cruising around town. That's Running Boards Marketing. Running Boards Marketing is perfect for your birthday party, graduation, or other